You're listening to Two Sides of FI, a podcast that follows two lifelong friends as they seek financial independence and to retire early. I'm Eric, and I'm joined by my friend Jason, who reached FI in 2020. And this is our story. Just to kind of set the stage here, my wife Laura, she's joined us on the podcast a couple of different times, and one with Jason and Lori. And we kind of did a couple of episodes, and then we did another check-in. And this is actually quite a while ago. It was before our oldest went to school, and he's now in his sophomore year. So I thought it'd be nice to kind of check in with you. It's September of 2023, and our original FI date was kind of mid-2024. So we're coming up on some like important dates and decisions, and we're recording this now because I wanted to have this as kind of a real-time, almost diary of what you're thinking, what I'm thinking. Some things have changed in our personal lives and our business. We can't talk about it with a lot of people, but I thought it would be nice to have this as a record so that we could, when you give your notice at your job, we can play this video and share it with the channel and just share our feelings. So it feels to me like we're leading this very kind of private existence here. We can't tell a lot of people what's going on. So can you just describe your position, what you're doing right now for work?
I'm an associate professor at a nonprofit research institute. And so that means that I run a biomedical research lab, and I have to maintain grant funding in order to keep that lab going. And so that's almost like having a small business, right, in a way. Yeah. So there's these cycles of grants. You're always looking ahead to, you know, when grants are ending, and you have to look, you know, I guess, submit those grant applications 2 years usually in advance. So what's happening now is, like, you know, I have a support system at work. One of them is a budget manager who I meet with once a month. Right. And she's starting to notice, you know, like, oh, these big grants are ending. So what are you working on right now? So I haven't told people at work what the plan is, but I think because of those kinds of changes in my behavior and my patterns of working, that people might be wondering what's going on. So there is definitely a grant cliff, which makes 2024 a good time because I can choose not to renew those grants. It also means that everyone that works for me in my lab, when I go away, their jobs go away.
Right.
And so I worry a lot about that. I care about those people. They're all really talented people. Some of them I've worked with for more than 10 years.
Right.
And I feel, you know, one of the struggles I have is, when do I tell people, especially people that I care about and I want to help them with their careers? I don't want this to hurt them.
Yeah.
So that bothers me a lot. You know, that's one of those things when I wake up at night and I'm having anxiety about whatever's on my mind. That's one of the things that's on my mind.
Mm-hmm. Are you excited by the prospect? Like, how have things?
I'm excited about it, but I'm nervous about it. I mean, yeah. I think this retiring early, idea was something that you had to kind of drag me into a little bit. I wasn't really ready to think about it. And I think because I operate on inertia anyway, it takes me a long time to, you know, get to a mindset. And then once I'm there, it's hard for me to change that mindset. And I was always raised to work. I mean, you work.
Yeah.
You work until you're, you know, if you're lucky, till you're 60 or 65. And you support your family financially. You don't rely on other people for that. So I was always sort of paying attention to, like, how much money I was saving for retirement, even though, like, we both were saving, like, as a couple, we're saving for retirement. But have I done my part yet? Like, I felt like of the money that we were saving, a lot of it should be from my efforts. And I think at the time we were talking about it, I felt like a lot of the money at the time we had saved, I knew there was going to be a larger proportion of it that was coming from you and your business. And I think I felt kind of like insecure about that, maybe. And maybe there was some pride involved. There was a lot of things that came up for me that I had to work through to really, like, I couldn't figure out why I didn't see it as like this wonderful opportunity that we were going to have.
Yeah.
I had really,
I always wondered that
weird
too.
Reactions to it. And you know that. I mean, I don't know if we talked about it the couple times that we've had recorded conversations, but it sent me into therapy. Like, I literally had to take a look at myself and say, because, you know, you're going to retire at some point.
Right.
I was going to face those feelings at some point, but there was some kind of issue I was having. And so it took me a while to get through that. That's my inertia. You know, I got through that. I figured out some of the things that were causing me to react that way and moved through it. And now I feel excited about it. And one thing I really enjoy at work now is just saying no to things, because it's always been really hard for me to say no at work. Right. And I always thought if I did say no, there would be these horrible consequences. And one of the things I've learned, like now I have the freedom to say no. And I realize like, it doesn't make any difference. I say no to things that
you could have been doing this for years.
Yeah. People come to you like, oh, we're going to offer you this prestigious role as the coordinator of this initiative. And you're like, yes, I will do that. And now I'm like, no, I don't think I need to do that. Yeah. So, that feels really good. And then I realized the bigger saying no is going to be, I'm saying no to renewing these grants. And I also realized a couple of the grants that I have. I mean, I think I was writing grants to keep people employed, you know, to do work that I knew would contribute to science and society. But was it really like, you know, what I wanted to do, you know, on the inside? Was it why I got into science in the first place? And I can definitely say that for some of those grants, they were much more service oriented mm-hmm. work and not why I got into science in the first place. Yeah. So the other thing that feels really positive about it is I'm able to really see that for what it is now, where before I was just like, nope, head down, do the best I can, you know, support my institute, the institution that my lab is in, you know, just be that sort of good team player that mm-hmm. I try to be. So, yeah.
So
that's where I don't know if I've captured everything. And I have a lot of thoughts about this, but those are the negatives and positives, like things that are causing me anxiety and things that I feel happy about.
So you're able to move through some of these barriers mm-hmm. and what allowed you to accept this as an idea that you're going to move forward with? Was it financial? Was it mindset? Was it, I'm aging out of this profession? Combination of all?
First, it was financial, because I think in the very beginning, I thought, no way are we that close. And we went through all the numbers, and you had already gone through them and you showed them to me. And then I had to go read on my own. And then once I realized that financially it was possible, it's like, oh, so this feels very different now, because now I have to think about what do I want to do with my life and my time, where money isn't part of it anymore. I don't have to necessarily think about, you know, am I making enough money to save for retirement? And, you know, that's out of the picture. And that's been such a driving force in all of my decision making my entire life from my very first job. It's really hard to think that way.
Sure. Yeah.
But that was a big thing. I had to change my thinking about that. Like, now it's about who am I and what do I want to do? And like, you stop thinking about that, especially when you have kids and you get busy and you're just trying to like get through, you know, that part of your life that's so busy, you hardly ever have time to take a step back and say, is this really what I want to be doing?
Yeah.
And that's not to say I didn't love what I was doing all along. I definitely have loved my job.
Hey, Eric here with Two Sides of Phi, checking in with a quick request. Jason and I love making this show and sharing our conversations, but we need your help spreading the word. The best way to do that is to give us a quick rating and review on your podcast app of choice. And if you know someone on the Phi path, please hit that share button on your favorite episode. Every little bit helps. Thanks. I've seen a big change in you. And actually, Jason mentioned it when we went out to California and we were just having some casual conversations about this, that you've really gone from this dug in position of like, well, I don't know if I'm going to retire, to, yeah, I want to retire.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious about, you know, why that happened.
Yeah, it was very much a process. It wasn't like I just woke up one morning. I think I had to go through a process of like, you know, like literally therapy involving process, which I've never done in my life, which I wish I had done it sooner, because it helps a lot. And then just re-envisioning what my life was going to be, because all along I thought we would be working until we were 60. And then it was like, no, we're not going to be doing that. We're going to do something different now. And I'm a very independent person. And I was also feeling like, well, am I just going to be subsumed into what you do? Because The idea of retiring is like we have time freedom now, and so one of the reasons why we've lived here for so long tied to this place is really my job, because your job for a while has been more mobile, but mine hasn't. And you know, one of the things I know you and I are both excited about is just being able to exist in different places, yeah. experience different places, right. different right. climates. And I'm excited about doing that. And I guess not feeling like retiring meant that I was gonna lose my individuality or like who I was. I think I felt that way because I didn't know what I was gonna do. Like, what was I gonna move into after retirement? So I didn't see a place for myself. I didn't see who I would be. And so I saw myself as being subsumed into whatever you were doing because I didn't have a vision for what I wanted to be doing.
Tell me a little bit about that, because I feel like many people step into retirement without really thinking through the purpose of it. Like, what's drawing you into retirement? What are you retiring to? And you were hesitant to plan that. I know we've had a lot of conversations where I said, hey, what's the two for you? And you said, I don't know. And I don't even want to think about it because it's enough for me now to exist in my job. So tell me, it sounds like maybe you've had some different thoughts about that, or is that still a work in progress?
I think it's still a work in progress, but I guess I'm doing a better job at figuring out. I think what you were hoping is that I would have a, you know, 10-part plan for like,
no,
don't say no, because that's how organized you are. Like that I would have it all, like that I would at least have, what are 5 things that you think you're going to be doing in your retirement, or, you know,
I guess I thought just even you being willing to say, I'll give it some thought was important for me to hear, because what I heard from you was like, I'm not giving this any thought, back off. Yeah. That's what I heard.
Yeah. Well, at the time, I think that's what I was saying.
Okay, good.
You heard correctly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now you're entertaining it at least a little bit?
I think, you know, I come to decisions privately, you know, like I have to go think about things and mull them over. This is the inertia, right? Like moving me into a different mindset. Like you have to think about moving like a very large object. You're not going to be able to accomplish that just by imploring and talking to me. Like I have to go away and have my own, do my own work in privately. Maybe I'm an introvert. I don't know. It's like, I was excited, but I also had to change a lot of what I was thinking, you know, and there's aspects of my job that I still find exciting, and there's a lot of personal identity in that. So I know that I need to figure that out. And there's also like a big hairball of stuff that has to get sorted out between now and from the time I guess when I tell people I'm retiring, you know, there's, you know, 25,000 vials of stem cells sitting in liquid nitrogen. Like, what are we going to do with those? Am I going to throw them all away? That's like 20 years of work.
It's funny because, you know, one of the reasons that we've looked at the number and decided, okay, it's okay to let your grants, you're going to close your business down, mm-hmm. is because of decisions we have made with the business that we co-own, and we're in this transition point, right? It's knowing that we can do different things with the business and we still want to operate it. And
which wasn't the original plan.
So we kind of had a little change in plans there where, you know, we think it makes sense to keep the business running for a couple of years post hitting the FI number. And we're trying to work out what that looks like. Do you come work in the business part-time? Tell me how you're feeling about that, because I would love to have you join me in operating the business, and I'd love for that to be a project together, but I know you have some strong hesitations about that. And I've also flip-flopped, because I said, when we get to this FI number, I want you to retire and I want me to retire and I want to go travel.
Yeah. That was the promise. and I remember saying to you that I was worried about going through with it because I thought, well, it's going to be a lot for me to give up my job.
Yeah.
You know, especially after, I don't know if we talked about this, but the years of training that I went through to be able to do my job. And then, you know, it's not an easy thing to have a successful lab.
Yeah.
in the U.S. and with NIH dollars. So it's a lot to give up. And I thought, what if I do that? And then we're retired and spending all of our time together, but you're still busy with your business. Part of retiring for us was to spend time together,
right,
doing things together. Right. So I was concerned about that early on. And it was like, nope, you said, no, that's not how it's going to be. Business is going to be done. You know, of course, I'm still going to be doing the things I enjoy, photography and film, and great, but it wasn't going to be in the context of a business that is stressful. That's, you know, because with your business too, you're up in the middle of the night worrying about your business. Like, yeah, there's a level of stress involved there that,
yeah,
you know, sure, the purpose of retiring is to not have that anymore.
Right.
Maybe. So yeah, that now it's that, but now I think because we have an opportunity, because your business is doing really well, it could even change our FI number. You know, that's a big deal. So it makes sense to not just to keep it going for a while.
But you agreed to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. So I don't know. How do I feel about working together? I mean, I keep talking about it as working for you. Like, I will be your CFO. And I think that in reality is, even though we're working together and you're being good about talking about it like a partnership, there's so much of it that I don't know that it's naturally going to be me as your trainee learning how to do all the things that then I'll take off your plate once I learn how to do them. So it changes the dynamics of our relationship, which, yeah, has always been kind of like equal footing and,
yes,
both very independent people. And I'm going to become kind of dependent on you to teach me those things. And I think that's okay. It's just, you know, I personally, without sort of talking about all of my personal hangups, I mean, this is just a product of how I was raised, is to just be very independent. And so it is, you know, and for whatever reason at work, when someone's formally my boss, I don't have a problem with it, but like, you're my husband. So I think it will be a little bit of an adjustment for us. Like, I don't want to be the worst employee you've ever had, but I might be. If I don't like it when you know, if you're telling me what to do and I'm just like, you're way too uptight today, I'm out of here, I'm going hiking.
Jason's definitely expressed concerns about how this might affect our relationship. But he's never worked for me, to be fair. He and I are a partnership in this.
But he knows what it's like to work with you on this project, so. But then again, I know you really well. I would argue, maybe Jason would disagree, that I know you better than he does. So I'm hoping, and you know me, so I'm hoping, you know, we will exercise the same,
yeah,
patience and respect for one another that has gotten us through these many years of being married. So I think, I don't know, I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess.
I have strong opinions loosely held.
Yes, so. True.
I mean, very, I think, true, that, I, yeah, think that's a good way to be. And I think I attribute the success of the business to that, and I'm willing to change my ideas. But I mean, I am in this coaching group right now, and a lot of other businesses that look like mine are a part of that. And it's a lot of husband and wife teams, mm-hmm, and that excites me. Mm-hmm. And it also, knowing what I've been able to do with this group that's been helping me, it just makes me see like even more possibilities. And there's a part of me that's like, are we ever going to get to a point where it's enough? Like, when do we collectively decide to say, all right, we've done what we can, you know? Because I look at this as this kind of golden goose. I'm like, well, we'd be silly to walk away from this. And
I think we just have to play it out because, yeah, you know, we may not actually be retired. Like, we could be busy, right, enough with this. Like,
I know it.
That's not fire, right? Like, that's, we're not actually retired. So really it's more me changing jobs.
Yeah. And you're changing into something that is not, you weren't trained for, you're not necessarily wanting to do. That's my biggest, yeah, concern in this. Not that it's, we would ever let it get to the point where it's going to affect our relationship, but that it would feel to you like a burden and a job you never wanted. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's amazing that you're willing to give it a try. And if it doesn't work, I think we're just going to have these candid conversations and just figure out, okay, well, this is not what we want. And we, mm-hmm, can, there are other ways to operate the business without you and I right there.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting to me to think about too. Yeah. Do you have any other things you've been thinking about lately? Is that the only thing keeping you up at night?
You know, the thing that keeps me up at night, it's never like, what am I going to do after I retire? Or are we going to be able to work productively together as a team? The things that I worry about at night are much more to do with the process ahead of me of uh-huh. shutting everything down. It's much more like I just get totally into the details of that.
Sure. On the topic of giving your notice, tell me thought process there. You're at high level position in the lab. You can't just walk in and say 2 weeks.
But at the
same point, you can't give like a year's notice. That you're going to have a vacant lab. You'll have nothing, nobody there to shut it down. So tell me how you're working through that.
I don't know. I mean, I think advice from people who know about it, like you, Jason, I think it's going to have to be at least 3 months. All the things that are waking me up at night, all of these things that I know have to happen, some of them, I don't even know if 3 months is enough time for those things to get disentangled.
And, okay.
You know, I also don't know what kind of support or reaction I'm going to get from, you know, the director of research, who's my boss.
Yeah.
It may be that it's a much more supportive response than I'm expecting. And if so, then I'll have help to sort of do things like sort through 20,000 vials of stem cells, you know, and God knows how many tubes of DNA, you know, it's just quite a lot of stuff. And I can't just leave it there. Like, I'm the one who has to decide what gets thrown away and then what gets given to somebody else.
Because when I ask you these questions, you immediately go, you start marching into the
details.
Into the details. I can see your heads there. But if you zoom out, like 6 months, that's where you started.
It might be too long. You're right. I mean, it could be too long. A lot of this, I think I have to come to an agreement with my boss on a period of time that works for both of us.
Yeah.
There's also a couple of grants that will need to be transitioned to someone else. And the NIH usually has a say in what that transition looks like.
Okay. Yep.
So I will need to listen to them too, because those are grants that really, I mean, I'm responsible for them, but they belong with the institution and they should stay.
Okay. You and I went away together a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. That was fun.
Great time away.
Yeah.
We talked with some family.
Oh yeah.
About this. Do you want to recap that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't told very many people about this plan, and there's a couple of friends. There's one particular person at work who's also a friend, or two actually, who I trust, and then of course our families.
Yeah.
And I have a very close family member who responded in a way that I didn't expect, because it wasn't, oh, that's amazing, congratulations. It was just sort of like, oh, really?
Why?
So do you think you'll be able to consult or something? You know, it wasn't the reaction I thought, well, maybe they just don't understand what I just said, which was literally like, I'm giving my notice this
on X date
winter or the spring or whatever we said.
It wasn't welcoming.
No.
It wasn't congratulatory. I wasn't expecting this person to like jump up and down, but I also wasn't expecting the reaction that we got. And I was kind of taken aback by it.
But I think this goes into...
You weren't hurt by it though.
No, I'm not hurt by it. I mean, I think it just goes into the bucket of people's strange reactions when you tell them that you're going to retire early.
Yep.
You have the people who are like, oh, that must be nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have the ones who are like, well, what are you going to do? And you have the ones who are like, another close friends of ours who I think really feel like working is like you owe the world to be working for a period of time. So even if you have enough money to retire, you shouldn't, because you know, your value in the world is your work.
You're not contributing.
And I almost got a sense from that person that they were going to like actually disrespect us as people for having done it. Like somehow we are, hedonists or like, you know, lazy or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And to them, and yeah, we are diminished in their eyes.
That was the feeling I got. Yeah. And I hope that's not what they meant. And I hope that we get to talk about it again with them, because it isn't quite real until we've actually,
sure.
I've given my notice, and
yeah.
I hope that they can be happy for us and be supportive and spend time with us when they have time. I mean, these are friends that I want to be able to spend time with, and you know,
yes.
Yeah. You know, we've been friends for a long time. So I hope that they can be excited for us and supportive. I'm noting that not everybody's going to react the way we expect them to.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to be very close family members. Some of them are going to be close friends, but they're all people we care about, which is why we're telling them now.
But one of the other reactions we got was complete silence.
I know.
I
thought maybe.
Wow, that's terrible. No reaction.
I know.
And I was like, that was equally strange to me. I was like, did they just not hear? Did they don't want to participate in this conversation? Or it was very weird. I mean, it was four of us sitting around.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the person was like asleep.
I think if both of them could have vocalized what they were thinking, they would have said, "Oh, must be nice." I think that's what they were thinking.
Yeah,
and they were choosing not to say that because they probably at least thought that might be painful for us to hear.
Yeah.
But I do think that's where they're coming from.
At some degree, this is just navel gazing. You know, you have expectations of
people,
and the closer they are, the higher the expectation sometimes. And really, I think what I'm learning is it's something just to keep maybe private.
It's just it's a personal choice that we're making, and it's kind of selfish of us to expect that it's going to move everybody else's world.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Exactly.
It may be when they start thinking about retiring themselves, you know, it might be a different conversation because their head will be there, and then we'll, you know, maybe we can even help them. You know, I'm sure we will have learned lots of lessons along the way, and then that, you know, we can help them. But like when you're speaking to somebody who's older than you and they're not ready to retire yet either because of personal reasons or financial reasons, it's across the board. It hasn't been a great conversation. And I think it's just because their head isn't there yet. And it's also, you know, we think, it's not like you're coming and telling, like, remember when we had our kids and we were pregnant, you tell everybody you're pregnant. Everyone's like, yeah, you're pregnant. Like, you think it's like that big of a life-changing event,
sure.
But people don't have the same reaction.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Except when we hear, like we were talking with a couple last night, we went out for drinks and we met this couple in this bar, right? And
just randomly, because we live in a touristy area. So we went out for dinner and then went to a bar afterwards for a drink. And this couple sat next to us and they wanted to talk about the area. You know, like they find out we live here. Oh, what should we be doing? Like, where should we go?
But newly retired.
Newly retired, yeah.
And we're like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, now we're extra congratulatory because we know how it feels. Like, oh, must be nice.
Good job.
They're like, wow, you're really excited about my retirement.
Calm down, Val. Because now you see possibly to the other side here. What are you looking forward to most?
I will be in charge of my schedule.
Yes.
I can't wait for that.
Because right now you show me your schedule every morning and I'm just floored by the number of meetings that you have.
Yeah. It's a total fallacy to think that you can be in charge of your schedule when you're working in an organization, on teams, collaborative grants. Like, it's just impossible. I've tried it so many times, like meeting free Fridays, and I'm never going to have meetings after a certain time of day. You just try, and like it is impossible. The only way I think is to just like be in charge of your own schedule. And so I'm looking forward to that.
That makes sense.
If I want to take a hike or a walk for 3 hours because I want to, like, I don't have anyone who's going to say, oh no, you have to be somewhere. I mean, maybe I'll be working for you. So maybe not.
With me.
With you. Yes.
It's our business.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to having some time. I think there's probably going to be a period of time when right after I'm done working, there might be a time of hedonism. I'm not saying it's going to be like that all the time. But
at least you're honest.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
See what that looks like.
Having fun, you know, like, I mean, it's very selfish, but I think you do. It must be true that when people retire, they have that period of time where they're just like, I have such a long list of fun things that I want to do.
Or
we saw it last night with that couple.
Yeah.
They're like, this is what we've been doing since we retired.
Just driving all over New England. Yeah.
But you're not worried about stepping into this next phase and not having it, like, it's unprogrammed.
No, I look forward to that because I've been living with programmed time for so long.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And it's not my natural state. Like, if I think about who I was as a kid growing up, like, my base state is to be unprogrammed.
So you've been going against that for your entire career.
Yeah. I have. And I'm sure, like, and I think with that unprogrammed time, it's going to, like, that will help me to kind of go through my process of, like, really honing in on how I want to spend my time. It's not something I'm able to do right now because I'm so caught up in the details of what has to happen in the next year. So I think during that time of hedonism, maybe I'll come out the other side with, like, oh, what can I do to really, like, help people and feel like I have a purpose in this world beyond my job.
We're going to have a real retirement party date. Like, you're going to set this date in the next couple of months here. I don't know when that's going to be. You're going to make a decision and you're going to have a hard break there, which is great because, like, I'm not going to get a retirement. Like, when I leave the business here, it's like, walk out the door, shut the lights off.
I don't think I want a retirement party.
You don't want a retirement party?
Because you know what will happen is all the people who come, all the people I know here locally are friends through work. Almost all of them are friends through work. And I think some of them are going to be, like, not really happy that I'm leaving.
Okay. Yeah.
And then my employees are also not going to be happy that I'm leaving.
We don't have to have one via work, but we can have it here amongst friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It'll be a hard date. You know, either way, you've worked so long to get,
I know,
you know, you're at the peak, right? And man, that scares me a little bit just looking at it from the outside, because I know how much of yourself is in your job.
Yeah. But I think
that's a concern of mine.
But I think everybody has to go through that process at some point where you have to take a step back and say, I have to be something besides my job, because not everybody works until they die. Maybe some people do, but that's not my plan.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, do you have any concerns, for example, about me working with you in the business?
No concerns. No, I'm really, you know, if you'll do it, I'm so excited for that.
Like,
that makes me so happy inside, but I'm concerned that it's going to feel like a job to you. And I don't want it to be that way. And so the minute it does, then it just doesn't happen anymore.
I guess to me, I can't imagine it's going to feel the same way, because that business is our livelihood. You know, the reason why we're able to retire early is because of it.
But also we could just shut it down.
Working for the business is working for us. It's working for our household. So that must feel very different. I mean, I certainly, especially if I'm taking over things that are whatever it is, answering emails or taking care of the finances, like, I have zero. I mean, I have not had a single economics or finance class or anything. Like, I'm not coming to this with expertise in these areas.
I mean, neither have I. I mean, you know, I've learned it over a period of years, but it's not like a very specialized skill set. Yeah. Honestly, this is a small business that's...
Yeah, I think what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, a core part of your business is your creativity.
Yes.
It's film, it's storytelling, it's architecture, it's mentoring people, teaching. Those are things that you've chosen to do because, you know, they bring you purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think what I'm trying to say is I never sort of sought to become a budget manager for a small business.
I get it.
Right?
I get it.
So you might say, well, that's not going to be fulfilling for you because, you know, you're just taking over the task that he doesn't want to do so he can be his creative self. And I think it's easier for me to do something like that if I know that the outcome of that is it's helping our financial picture very directly. Like, you know, wherever you work, you're either working for yourself or you're working for an institution. I think if you're working for yourself, it's easier to take those tasks on. I mean, I don't love doing laundry, but, you know, it's part of life. It's not a very good example.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're making this sound amazing.
I'm just
saying, like, it's part, it's, it, it has more meaning because of that. It's not just like, yeah, anyway.
It's, I mean, to be fair, I'm doing all those tasks right now, you know, and I don't love doing all of them, certainly. And it, I guess the way I saw it was, if you can plug into this and we can reduce the number of hours that the sum total it takes to run the business, such that it's like core small amount of time for you and core small amount of time for me, that's all the better. You know, it's like we're getting kind of the best of both worlds. We're able to keep this thing operational and help maybe super fund our kids, you know, give them a springboard, help family out, do things that we weren't able to previously do, and also have more time doing that than we have right now. But what I don't want it to do is balloon out into this object, which we just say, well, it's just, it's making more and more money. Let's put more and more time into it. Cause that's,
yeah, there has to be a,
there's gotta be a point where we say enough is enough, because I'm like, I don't, when you talk about the hedonistic period after you retire, I'm like, well, that sounds pretty amazing. I'm like, I don't want to miss out on that. I want to be around for that. I'm not going to be working in here.
Yeah. And also, like, helping our families, that's a big one too. I mean, having,
because you can,
having time freedom means that it, you know, we have more time to, you know, visit with our folks and our, you know, help our folks out as they age. And that's going to be really important.
We're not, we didn't talk about money here really at all. I mean, doesn't seem like you're worried about that.
Well, not right now. Not right now. I mean, we have definitely had our, you know, I think we frequently go back and look at the budget, and we always are sort of like, is this going to be enough? Are we going to be able to do this? Are we going to be able to do all the things we want to do?
I mean, I don't want people to think that we're not talking about numbers. Like, the numbers are not important. They are.
Oh yeah.
But it just feels easier to solve. Those things feel easier to solve than these. Okay, you're leaving your job. I might be sticking around on mine.
And yeah, that's
might,
a big one.
Like, that's a big deal.
Well, that episode with your friend Eric, he's kind of in that place because his wife hasn't retired, but he has, and it hasn't been very long yet. But I listened to that and I thought, well, I wonder, you know, and they're in a much different place. They have little kids, but, you know, they're not able to spend time together. And that's part of the reason in my mind for retiring for us anyway, is so that we can spend time together more than we have been.
Well, yeah, cool. Well, I'm glad you were able to be open and talk about this, and I can't wait to be able to share this. Like, I feel like we're going to package this up and share it on the day you give your notice.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, because we can't really release this now.
This is kind of in the archive until then.
Maybe we need to do another discussion of, like, I think another thing that happens with couples is, how do you, given you've decided you have X budget for something post-fire, what if you're not on the same page about how to spend that money?
to be continued.
Yeah, we've been pretty good so far, but I'm curious to see if that's going to come up. But one way to solve that is just making more money. But
we have a car purchase coming in the future. Is that?
Yeah. Hopefully it will be less contentious than the last one.
It's already shaping up to be that way. As long as you acquiesce to my vision of what it should be.
This is what it's going to be like working with you. It's my vision.
No, that's not true. All right, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Join us as the conversation continues next time on Two Sides of Phi.